evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, July 14, 2015. The SPLM Secretary General says the party will never fail the people of South Sudan again. Is there anything new in Pagans Amum's promise?
From today, you will not hear me pointing fingers at any of the comrades and blaming any of the comrades. I will be pointing the fingers on myself, and I am calling every comrade to look at your own mistakes, correct your mistakes, so that you can see my mistakes properly.
And five civilians were killed in central Equatoria State during clashes between youth and members of the South Sudan Army.
The casualties are five in number. Five that I'm talking all about are civilians, and the information that I got is that there were two casualties from the army side, and then injuries are about five or more.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Former political detainee Pagan Amum resumed his duties today as SPLM Secretary General. You might remember that Amum was fired from the top ruling party position in February of last year while he was in detention awaiting trial for his suspected role in an alleged coup attempt to oust President Salva Kiir. The National Liberation Council voted last month to reinstate Amum in his position, and today he vowed to work for unity and peace. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
SPLM Oye! SPLM Oye! We are united for peace, freedom, and prosperity for all our people. Let us begin the work.
That is Pagan Amum reciting the SPLM liberation slogan at the party secretariat today as he officially resumed his duties of Secretary General.
Today is a day of change, and I'm beginning my duties in the office to change myself. From today, you will not hear me pointing fingers at any of the comrades and blaming any of the comrades. I will be pointing the fingers on myself, looking at my mistakes, and I am calling every comrade to look at your own mistakes, correct your mistakes, so that you can see my mistakes properly.
Amum was given a warm reception by members of the party secretariat, including Deputy Secretary General Anne Ito. Women ululated joyously, and members of the secretariat and youth sang patriotic songs as Amum spoke to reporters and party members at the SPLM headquarters. Amum said that under his leadership, the SPLM will focus on implementing the Arusha Agreement to reunify the ruling party. The deal was signed at the beginning of the year.
I want to say at this new stage, what the SPLM is going to deliver after this division, after this resolving this national crisis, is going to be a very strong unity, national unity, a sustainable and permanent peace in South Sudan, delivery on the promises that the SPLM has made during the struggle and during the election of services to our people.
The SPLM splintered into factions when fighting erupted in December 2013. The factions loyal to President Kiir and the one made up of former detainees like Amum have already taken steps to bury their differences and come together again under the umbrella of the SPLM. But the faction loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar is holding out. Amum says he will engage with the Machar's faction and bring it back into the SPLM within 2 months' time. Like Amum, Machar was accused of treason for his alleged role in the events of December 2013 that triggered the fighting that still continues around the country. But unlike Amum, Machar fled Juba when the violence broke out and was not charged with the treason. Ito says Amum's return signals a new chapter for the SPLM.
All of us must embrace this new spirit and leave behind those tools we have used to tear ourselves up, to enable SPLM to reconcile and heal, to repair the damage that has been done over the last 2 years, rebuilding trust and harmony among us, and returning to the path of nation and state building.
For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
As talks of peace continues, civil society activists say achieving justice for victims of South Sudan's 19-month-old conflict will be difficult, even if a peace deal is reached soon. At a debate in Juba sponsored by Justice Africa, panelists cited unprofessionalism in the security sector and lack of an independent media as the main roadblocks to administering justice and accountability in the country. Philip Thorne-Aleu attended the debate and report for VOA from Juba.
Civic society activist Ben Gidon says security sector reform is key to ensuring justice for the victims of atrocities and other crimes during the last 19 months. He says perpetrators must be held accountable for their actions if national healing is to begin. Gidon says lapse in security in 2013 allowed the fighting to break out and quickly spread across the country.
If the security system was functioning, there would have not been violence. And therefore, security sector reform came in as a component of a transitional justice.
Gidon says this nationwide security failure led to the breakdown of the societal fabric that once held South Sudanese communities together. Public truth-telling, reconciliation, and legal justice are necessary, Gidon says, but will be difficult to attain. He says those things can only happen after the army, police, and other security sectors are professionalized.
Consequently, this has inflicted a very heavy financial burden, as 40% of the annual budget yearly goes to the defense and security sector. To the army, that we don't know the parade. To the army, that is so huge and unnecessary. And to make the matter worse, as the peace talk is ongoing, there is likelihood that the army is going to be much bigger than what we have now if the warring parties on both sides are going to be reintegrated.
Gidon says avoiding past mistakes, especially violent power struggles, will only be possible by recruiting educated young men and women to join the armed forces and by separating the army from the political sector or the SPLM. Other panelists say another big barrier to justice in South Sudan is the lack of a vibrant media. Alfred Aban, editor of the Juba Monitor newspaper, says many South Sudanese media outlets are intimidated and often censor themselves. Taban says military personnel accused of committing atrocities during the conflict should be forced out of office if media outlets conduct investigations and determine overwhelmingly evidence against those individuals.
And how does he lose that military and political power without the help of the media, independent media? You know, people have to know about the atrocities committed. And in many cases, we hear atrocities are committed here and there from word of mouth from, you know, somebody who may have vested interest.
Taban says relying on the results of United Nations investigations, for example, does not give local media the authority to help citizens make informed decisions about those accused of war crimes. He says the current media environment cannot help provide evidence for ensuring transitional justice.
So we need a responsive government that really takes into consideration the wishes of the people. That is how you build a country, not just saying, oh, this is nonsense, and you move forward.
Taban says many South Sudanese are eager for peace first and justice later, since experience has taught them that politicians will never hold themselves accountable. The debate, partially funded by the Dialogue and Research Initiative, is aimed at encouraging South Sudanese to get involved in the peace process days ahead of the resumption of IGAD-mediated peace talks between government and rebel negotiators. Accountability for the thousands of lives lost and reparation for civilians affected since the conflict began is one of many issues on the agenda for the upcoming talks in Addis Ababa. For VOA News, I am Philip Thorne-Aleu in Juba.
Still in central Equatorial State, officials say at least 8 people were killed when armed youth from Terekeka County clashed with SPLA soldiers in a village north of the capital, Juba, on Sunday. Officials say they are investigating the incident. Local officials say the trouble started on Saturday night when 2 unidentified soldiers from the SPLA based in Gurekek killed 2 youth in a nearby Kuda village. Modilo Mindi is a legislator in the Central Equatorial State Assembly.
There were 2 youths who came for marriage in Mayum, and then they came to the center in Kota where they were smoking shisha. So unfortunately, there were two soldiers who came up to the town center in Kota there and spotted this youth. And then in the course of their meeting, it happened that they shot the two young men. After this happened, all the citizens who were actually resident in Kota deserted the area because they were in fear of the retaliation of the youth coming from the cattle camp.
Lomindi says word of the killing provoked youths in the nearby cattle camps. The following day, armed young men mobilized and carried out a revenge attack on the military base in Gureke.
The casualties are five in number, and specifically from two areas of Terkeka County. One is from Jubagondi, Terkeka Payam, and then four from Barerie, Nyore Payam of Terkeka County. These five that I'm talking all about are civilians, and the information that I got is that there were two casualties from the army side, and then injuries are about five or more.
Since the attack on the military base, Lomindi says civilians have been hiding in the bush. He says he fears the death toll could rise among those who were wounded. Soba Samuel is the Central Equatoria State Information Minister. He confirmed the civilian casualty figure, but says he's been told that up to six soldiers were killed in the attack. Lomindi says the situation is now calm, but officials have blocked vehicles from traveling between Terkeka town and Juba for fear of revenge attacks. He says Central Equatoria State officials are working with the army to investigate the attack and try to improve relationship between the military and area residents. This is not the first time civilians have clashed with South Sudan Army. Asked what state authorities are doing to prevent future attacks, Samuel said the problem is easy access to guns.
The whole of South Sudan is having a lot of guns in the hands of the civilians. So what capacity does the state have to mobilize the guns from the hand of the civilians? So we need to have a comprehensive national disarmament policy to get rid of all the guns. Because if everybody is moving with a gun throughout the South, what do you do in the state?
Juba County Commissioner Stephen Wani Michael says deploying armed forces without any prior consultation was the wrong move. He says a committee has been set up to get to the bottom of Sunday's violence.
We'll sit down with the county commissioner of Terkeka really to make sure the cattle have to be taken deep inside Terkeka so that to avoid all this losing of life and so forth, because it is not healthy. If civilians are attacking the army, or the army is attacking civilians, then this is a crisis.
Michael says the committee will also talk to army officials to try to prevent this kind of violence from happening again. Charlton Doki prepared that report in Juba. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a new treatment center opened in and around Juba to treat hundreds of patients with cholera. More on that when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
who has been the kindest person to you in your life?
I think my mom. She's kind, or she tolerates everything that I do. Whether it's being good or bad, she does tolerate. So she's kind to me.
To be honest, there are so many. I cannot really remember one particular one, but there's nobody bad, actually, to me. There's nobody bad, because if somebody does something wrong or bad to me, I think that person is trying to educate me on a particular thing.
The kindest person to me in my life is my friend, whom we have studied together from my secondary school to university life. We're still together. He's always honest, and he's so kind to me.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today we are talking about cholera. South Sudanese health officials are stepping up efforts to prevent the spread of cholera in Juba and other parts of the country. Since the outbreak was announced last month, 34 people have died from the disease in Juba and Bor, and more cases have been confirmed in these two towns. The Ministry of Health, in conjunction with UNICEF, the World Health Organization, and other partners, has set up 5 treatment centers in Juba's most vulnerable neighborhoods for the spread of the disease. Mungume Debs Rakarinj visited some of the treatment centers and has this report for VOA from Juba.
Okuna Thomas carries a 20-liter tank of choline on his back and sprays the shoes of everyone who enters the Kathor Kolela treatment center west of Juba.
This one? Yes. We use it for disinfecting in case maybe you stepped on a contaminated feces, maybe having some cholera, those kind of bacterial virus. Then, in case anybody who wants to enter inside, even a patient, when the patient comes, we first also, what? Do we spray? We don't know. That patient coming here is under suspect, whether the patient might be having cholera or not.
36-year-old Mary Lulit has worked in Juba Teaching Hospital for the past 5 years. In her new job, she works with a local NGO to educate locals about ways to prevent the spread of cholera. With a great deal of satisfaction, she recalls a 20-year-old woman who came to the treatment center about a week ago.
She was with diarrhea and vomiting. I administer ORS and she became better. She was discharged immediately. She is now very fine.
ORS is oral rehydration salts. HealthLink is partnering with UNICEF to provide services for treatment centers like this one. Geoffrey Omara, a disease surveillance officer, says the woman Rulit describes was the third patient confirmed to have cholera since the center was established on July 6th.
After the discharge, he or she is supposed to get the packages of ORS, aqua tabs, and then a tablet of soap for hand washing at home. And then we also make sure that the nurse who is discharging this patient is able to give some basic information regarding personal hygiene during food handling, and safeties.
The World Health Organization says there have been 917 confirmed cholera cases in Juba and Bor since the outbreak was declared in June. Omara says simple practices like washing hands after using the toilet and drinking treated water can dramatically reduce the rate of infections in the country. Cholera is a fast-acting bacterial infection that causes diarrhea and severe dehydration that can be fatal if not treated promptly. Joseph Celestino, a UNICEF's Cholera Task Force member, says the recent spread of the disease has been relatively low compared to last year. According to WHO, there were at least 167 deaths out of more than 6,400 reported cases last year. But Celestino warns that health officials must never get complacent.
Because our sanitation facilities, our water system is not really perfect, and we have a fear that yes, it might worsen. That's why we need to make sure we are prepared to make sure we make sure it doesn't go beyond our control.
UNICEF says only 13% of South Sudan's population has access to adequate sanitation facilities, and more than a third do not have access safe drinking water. Conflict and displacement have only worsened that situation by exposing hundreds of thousands of people to communicable diseases due to poor sanitation, crowding, and lack of healthcare facilities and medicine. For VOA News, I am Mugume Devs Rwakarinj in Juba.
Still in Juba, civil society activists in Central Equatoria State are launching a new watchdog initiative that they hope will get state lawmakers to spend their 3 months recess at their home constituencies instead of traveling overseas. At a news conference in Juba this morning, Edmund Nyakanyi, the director of the Community Empowerment for Progress, says he is teaming up with other local groups to monitor how MPs spend their time off from lawmaking. Philip Thorne-Aleu reports for VOA News from Juba.
Nyakanyi says, instead of spending their recess on expensive overseas holidays, state lawmakers should stay at home and engage with their constituents. He says SEPO will work with other local groups and monitor the number of public events and meetings that state lawmakers organize and attend between now and September. Yakani says even one meeting a month will indicate that a lawmaker was present in his or her constituency during the recess period. Yakani says MPs could spend their time at home explaining to their constituents what steps are being taken to end South Sudan's conflict.
And also we feel that they should think of talking to our citizens about the continuous economical pressure that we are receiving now in the country, as the rate of dollar is so expensive. We need them to talk to the citizens, the constituents level on that. And also to tell, because that have resulted to a continuous during daylight armed criminal act. And we hope that that's a result of the economical pressure.
Yakani says a telephone hotline and an email address has been set up for the public to send or leave messages about what constituency work a member of parliament is doing during his or her break. The email address is mympresses@gmail.com. The telephone number is 0955-529-003. Yakani says a report will be compiled at the end of the recess and submitted to the office of the state speaker.
As a citizen of the state and as a vote of the state, it is absolutely within the right of my vote to ensure that I can report back to the state parliament about the performance of my MP. It's within our civic responsibility to table our observation to them.
Central Equatorial State MPs did not respond to repeated calls to comment on this story. This is the first time there has been an exercise to monitor the work of MPs in South Sudan, but Yakani hopes it is not the last. He wants other states to seize the initiative and follow Central Equatorial leads. For VOA News, I'm Philip Thonaleo in Juba.
We were able to track down the Speaker of the Central Equatorial Assembly, Naftali Hassan Gali. He is in Uganda on a personal visit. VOA fellow Tito Justin found one Central Equatorial Member of Parliament who is in South Sudan, but that MP Jacob Aligo is not in his constituency of Yei. He is in Juba. Aligo says just because he is out of his constituency does not mean he is dodging his duties.
Because I've got extra duties, and then you have to balance between the other duty and the MP's role. So if I've not been now in my constituency, doesn't mean I don't go there.
Aligo also says that not all lawmakers leave South Sudan during the 3 months recess.
Because there are MPs who go to the constituencies frequently. Whenever there's a recess, they go and visit their constituencies.
That was the Member of Parliament for Yei in Central Equatorial State speaking with VOA fellow Tito Justin earlier today about a plan to monitor what lawmakers do during their 3 months recess. Not all South Sudanese in the Washington, D.C. diaspora are of one mind. This tension over leadership in the metropolitan D.C. area was on display this past weekend when two separate South Sudanese groups held two different Independence Day celebrations, 10 miles apart from each other. Many in the diaspora say the community should have united as one on a day when South Sudanese were able to come together at home to honor those who lost their lives fighting for independence. South Sudan in Focus reporter Ayen Bior has more.
One people, one tribe, one nation, but two separate Independence Day gatherings for South Sudanese here in the D.C. metropolitan area. The celebrations were just 20 minutes apart. Several people at both gatherings wondered aloud why there had to be two celebrations instead of one. South Sudanese Ambassador to the U.S. Kareng Dingakwang, who attended both, pinpoints when the division began.
The division occurred during the last elections, where some community members were excluded from the new office. So that one created divisions.
Angelo McCare was one of the members of the community excluded from office. He was told that he did not live within the confines where the elected body operates, although he was allowed to be a member of the TSSC, or the South Sudanese community. He could not act in an official capacity. McCare, who organized the other Independence Day celebration, was not available for comment. Dut Akot, who attended both celebrations on Saturday, questions Makare's motives for hosting a separate event in the same city.
Why he don't do it in Richmond, Virginia? Why he bring it close to you? It become to believe that it was not for him. It was for you, you ambassador. It couldn't have been for you. You might have funded him and say, do this in my name, and I'm going to come and join you and eat your food, and I'm going to leave the food and the drink for the community that has put their hand together, and you say, so for the people here.
Ambassador Kwong says the embassy had hoped to help the two groups settle their differences.
The head of that committee, who is the deputy ambassador, tried to mediate between the two communities, and he talked to the two leaders of the two communities to try to harmonize the celebration, and that they should come under one umbrella and organize the celebration.
Ambassador Kwong denies accusations that the embassy was enabling the division by providing official funds to both parties.
We did not provide funds, and our records are there, are clear, banks are there. We did not provide, and because we didn't have enough funds for our celebration. So we did not provide funds.
Abraham Alak attended the celebration hosted by the TSSC. He says he strongly believes the diaspora should be united.
The problem don't divide the people. Everybody, people have the differences. Like you can see now, like there's some people will suit, some other people will not suit, because people are different. So, but we can accept our differences and work together.
For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are recaps of our top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Former political detainee Pagana Amum officially went back to work today as SPLM Secretary General. Amum was removed from his SPLM post last year after being detained on accusations that he took part in an alleged coup attempt against President Kiir. The National Liberation Council recently voted to reinstate Amum as Secretary General. Civil society activists who sponsored a debate in Juba today say achieving justice for victims of violence during the long conflict will not be easy, even if a peace deal is reached soon. Panelists said the army, police, and other security sectors must be professionalized, and media outlets must be free to do their work in order for justice and accountability to occur. And finally, Juba officials say at least 8 people were killed when armed young men from the Mandari community clashed with SPLA soldiers in a village near the capital on Sunday. Officials say the violence erupted Saturday night when 2 SPLA soldiers from a nearby military base killed 2 youth in Kuta Town. And that's a recap of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Muto Aloro by Sheri Yolo from Central Equatorial State.
Sir Yolo! Yolo Sala Musala! Kira la la bila yangunda. Sound is the intent.
Zaka na ayengunda kamaka. Mutu kilo bodi do. Kilo bodi kuteli kolaga kamaka. Mandu na nubodi irima. Kude kila biye kuroso. Kuta konda kitana gelena. Kuto mindadi obo sina yo. Kumarani kuseka elongi. Ngunu loko darizi kilo kilo. Po akora kade kade. Doku mandu na kunyo. Parate hilo daily aloro mono yakinda dokuya foto jongado itoro kono kingiro lolegelo otinyero konesi na bokine shole lile mama mutiro kulo aniye mo shole lile kudo kukura pura domangulo wakere mo shole lile dunia na auda toboni mama shole lile kine timugo marate mutikilo aloro
We have been listening to Sheri Yolo with the song Mutu Aloro. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Molu selo rembudo body kuke ba yongi yonga marate.